as the mentor leader, encourage your mentee to create that balance. Actively encourage them. You can say, hey, you know what? This is going to be a really good person for you to be in contact with, for you to touch base with, because I mentored them over the last 5 or 6 years, and they're gonna know more than me about working with me. I say that all the time. New people come in and I tell them, listen, you need to go talk to this person about how it is to work with me so that you know that. This is a great skill as a leader to develop. Identify people that can be resources for the people under you so that they understand and they learn and they get a sense and another perspective of how it is like to work with you.
Hello, you are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. So the truth is, I get messages all the time from people who are like, whoa, 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 this is too good. I definitely want to do more. How can I work with you? Like, where is the front door? And so if that's you and you're a woman of color faculty in academic medicine or public health, just keep listening. The question is, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3X your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development or professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you are working hard but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are, still working when you don't want to be on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our 6-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We help you learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to take the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, without suffering, then I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you will be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you really want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. See you soon. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the show. I hope everybody is doing well. I'm on a mission for this podcast episode, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm breaking down the fourth wall. My goal is to make this episode like short and sweet, tight. I feel very strongly about this topic. And usually when I feel that way, well, I would say sometimes I'm like, I want to do it on an IG live on social media because I can get some input and thoughts or whatever. But I'm not doing that this time because I want this to be short and tight because I want you to send this around. I'm going to say it at the top and being very explicit. I want you to listen to it. You subscribers, you listen. I want you all to send this episode around all over. And therefore, my goal is to keep it short and tight because I know especially people who don't listen to podcasts, like they need a digestible message. It needs to be quick. So here we go. We need to have a direct and unflinching conversation. And I want to say right now, I do not think this is a conversation where there is an enemy and an innocent. There is not anything like that. I just want us all in academic medicine and public health to stop participating in a form of a very low quality relationship habit. That's what I'm calling this. I think it's a low quality relationship habit that is rife for potential chaos, resentment, breakdown, career frustration, etc. And it doesn't have to be. So the relationship that I'm talking about is the research mentor who is also my leader. The research mentor who's also my chair, the research mentor who's also my division director, the research mentor who's also my dean, where both of these roles are occupied by the same person. It happens all the time, and I do not think it is necessarily bad. I'm going to say that again. I do not think it is necessarily bad. In fact, in full transparency, this was my situation for a few years, and it worked out very well. So there's no way I can't even sit here and be like, oh, this is toxic, it's bad, it's suboptimal. It is not by design that way, but it often ends up that way in execution because we are not careful and clear and active about how to carry out such a relationship well. And to be honest and frank, I am tired after 4.5 years of coaching faculty across all institutions nationally in different specialties, different research programs, different setups. I am so tired of the same problems coming up over and over again with this setup. So you guys are going to get it straight. No chaser. Here are the four things that need to be, one, we need to be aware of, and two, need to happen in these relationships to attempt to have them be as positive as they can be. Step one, let's realize that there is an inherent conflict of interest with a capital C. Again, it's not always wrong or bad. It just is. A chair has different priorities than a mentor, even when both perspectives are thoughtful and logical. Even when both perspectives are trying to do their best job at what they're doing, there can be and often will be conflict. And let me tell you something, the chair always wins. The leadership role always wins because of capitalism, okay? There are other factors, often financial factors and other things at play that make it most often that the leadership position perspective is going to win or feel more urgent or feel most important. Number two, thus, this mentor leader, this is what I'm calling this person that occupies both roles. The mentor leader must have clear role delineation and be able to identify these different perspectives within themselves, especially when they conflict. And this is possible. So the frustration I have is sometimes when mentor leaders want to pretend, honestly, that they can't distinguish as a research mentor, I think this, as a chair, I think that. That is absolutely possible to do. If you want to see a different version of that, check out the entire therapeutic approach of internal family systems. We all have different perspectives within us, and the mentor leader has the responsibility to delineate and be clear with themselves which perspective they are looking at a problem with that. And I am just going to say,
that a mentor leader who pretends that they can't distinguish these perspectives is lying to themselves and or to you, okay? And maybe you also need to check out resources on emotionally immature people, because that is not true. Those perspectives exist. Number three, in any important or maybe all conversations between the mentee and the mentor leader, those people need to call out and name the differing perspectives. This should not be like a weird conversation. This should not be a high stakes conversation. This should be a normal routine in the conversation, i.e., as the mentee, hey, I'd like your advice as my mentor. I want your mentor hat on. This is what I want to know. This is the input I need. And or the opposite. For the mentor, what it sounds like is, I'm going to give you my take as the chair. This is not the same thing I would say as your mentor. In fact, I might say something different, but as the chair, these are the needs. This is what I see. This is perspective that I have on this problem. Disclose what perspective the advice and the conversation is happening within as a routine, normal part of the conversation. And I will emphasize again, it is possible to distinguish the perspectives. Number four, this is the last step. See how quickly we're moving? Number four, both parties, but super especially the mentee, must have an outside ear specifically in order to balance this conflict of interest. To balance it. Again, it's not inherently bad, but you need balance. I mean, first of all, this is not new. A lot of people talk about having a lot of different perspectives on your mentor team, your advisory board, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, even if you look in like, I mean, I completed like Title IX training recently, you know, like the update of it. And one of the things that they've emphasized was like, it's really important for people on small teams and smaller environments, whatever, to have connections outside of those environments. It's a known way to make sure that people are supported and have healthy dynamics and all of that. Like, we already know this, right? But then I don't understand why there's this weird hesitation when I recommend to folks, like, you need a specific person that is going to balance out this conflict of interest within a single mentor leader. So what does a person look like who might balance that? One, it's a person who might share one role, but not the other. So maybe you also have another department chair that understands that perspective, but is not your direct research mentor and can give you context about why a certain thing might be being recommended or not, or vice versa. You have another person who is a research mentor for you, but is not a chair or leader or whatever, and can give you a more pure perspective from that. Or you have somebody who knows the mentor leader from a different perspective, and therefore they can offer third-party advice. So somebody who's like, yeah, they've worked with this person for 10, 20 years. They understand this person and they're not in the same situation that you are in. So if you ever need a like, am I reading this wrong? Am I confused? What is your approach? What's your thought about this? That person can help you. This is not messy. This is just recognized professional relationships that can help you navigate well. Or another way to balance out the relationship is that you have somebody who's walked the same path with the mentor or leader effectively in a way you would want to emulate, okay? Those last caveats are important. It doesn't help if it's somebody who you're like, I do not want that kind of relationship they have. Like, that feels exploitative. It feels crazy. I don't want that. Then that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who you're like, okay, you seem to have navigated this well. You have the kind of career setup I'm looking for, or you seem to have navigated this relationship essentially and moved to the kind of place that I want to be. That's a great person who can give you valuable advice on how that worked, maybe where they saw the vulnerabilities, where they navigated difficult conversations, all of that stuff. But the bottom line is there has to be somebody who's balancing out this conflict of interest. So those are the four steps. Those are the four pieces of awareness. Those are the four action places. If you have a mentor leader type of mentoring relationship setup. And in addition, I just want to say, if you are a mentor leader, this is also your responsibility. It is your responsibility to recognize that you have an inherent conflict of interest. Again, it doesn't have to be bad. And also, there are wonderful things about these two roles being aligned. If you got a research mentor that wants you to have support, and that person is also the chair that can give you that support, well, hey, look at that. Again, I'm emphasizing it's not always bad. In fact, it can be really great. But there are these vulnerabilities that we have to think about. So number one, if you're the mentor leader, recognize that there's inherent conflict of interest. And though it might feel initially this is a perfect blend, recognize that as time goes on, there is overwhelmingly likely to be moments where your perspective as a mentor and your perspective as a leader are in conflict, and you must be able to identify the differences in those perspectives and recognize that it's very likely, not 100%, but it's likely that the leadership role is going to feel more urgent, more pressing. Thus, it is helpful for you to have somebody you can talk to. It's helpful for you to have somebody to bounce off of about the balancing of those two roles. Number two, mentor leaders, you have to be willing to be able to delineate these roles and call them out. If you don't want this job, if you don't want that responsibility of having to be that aware and clear about your perspectives, then don't be a mentor leader. If you don't feel like you can do this, then don't take on these kind of roles. Be a mentor alone, be a leader alone, but don't put yourself in both roles and then say you can't distinguish between the two roles or not even try to. That is unfair to you and everybody. Number three, normalize conversations where we call out the both perspectives. And what you're able to do when you do this is you get to normalize problem solving together through the conflict. Oh my God, amazing. Right? You get to normalize seeing each other as full humans and saying, you know, from the chair perspective, I really need this. From the mentor perspective, I understand you need that. Let's think about how this can work. Let's problem solve what the primary issue is coming up instead of pretending that it literally isn't there. Number four, as the mentor leader, encourage your mentee to create that balance. Actively encourage them. You can say, hey, you know what? This is going to be a really good person for you to be in contact with, for you to touch base with, because I mentored them over the last 5 or 6 years, and they're going to know more than me about working with me. I say that all the time. New people come in and I tell them, listen, you need to go talk to this person about how it is to work with me so that you know that. This is a great skill as a leader to develop. Identify people that can be resources for the people under you so that they understand and they learn and they get a sense and another perspective of how it is like to work with you. Actively connect them to people that you think would be well to balance out the relationship with emotional maturity, of course, right? These are things that you can do to help yourself. So you can say, listen, I'm not going to manage this conflict of interest perfectly all the time. It's true, I might be more driven by this leadership role sometimes. I want you to have another voice in your ear. So if I'm coming too far on that side, you can talk to somebody and push back against me, and we can make sure that we maintain this healthy relationship. That's your responsibility if you're going to be the mentor leader, if you're going to hold both of those roles. You don't get to abdicate that responsibility. Mentees, you get to expect this level of executive function and emotional maturity from your mentor and leader. If you're missing any of these elements and you're in this kind of relationship, shore them up. Listen to this podcast. Shore them up. Take care of them. If you're missing these elements, you are in a vulnerable territory for all the big bad things that I opened with, and I don't want you to be, because these relationships, again, can be so fruitful. They can be so great. We just don't think about protecting them against their inherent vulnerabilities, and we don't have to do that. Let's be proactive about creating healthy, mutually beneficial, psychologically safe relationships. And with that brevity, I am so proud of myself. Long-term listeners, aren't y'all proud of me? I want you to forward this to somebody who you think should forward it to somebody else. Y'all share this around. Share the love. Let's get this going. Have this be the podcast of the week to discuss. Talk about this in your professional development circles, okay? Drop the link to the podcast in the group chat and discuss. Forward this around your group of leaders, women leaders, friends. Like, let's normalize this. Let's all do better in these relationships. I love y'all and I mean it. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening with me today. I appreciate your time, as I know it's so valuable. I hope this episode was helpful to you, and I hope you feel energized to go out and claim your unapologetic career. See you soon.